chapter 8. Thank you, Brother Matthews, for those songs of hymns. You uplifted us this morning, and I love to praise him. That's not only a song that we should sing, but that's a way that we should live, loving to praise him. Thank you, Brother Bowie. Thank you, Brother Johnson, as well, for your part in our worship service this morning. Like I said, there's a good message this morning, amen? There is a good message. Are you there yet at the text? And, you know, before we even start, you know, one thing that I realize, and I think you realize it too, that life is uncertain. You know, if you paid any attention to the news media lately, you know, there have been a lot of people, Brother Bowie, that have just been leaving this earth. And, you know, it comes to our attention because, you know, these celebrities die, Bernie Mac and Isaac Hayes. But the reality of the matter is that death happens continually. You remember what James said. He says, what is your life but a vapor? It's here for a short while, and then it fadeth away. You know, I read just recently that there was an author, and he published this book called 100 Things to Do Before You Die. Do you know that he had an accident? He slipped, hit his head in his house, and he died at 47 just recently. And it was said that he had only done about half of the things that he had written in his book. And you know, curiosity got the best of me, because I wanted to know what was on his list, Brother Bowie. You know, because I don't know 100 things that you must do before you die, but I do know one thing that you must do before you die. I know that if you don't obey the gospel, if you don't believe in Christ before you die, guess what? Heaven will never be your home. And, you know, I looked at his list, and what he had that you need to visit Times Square on New Year's Eve. He had that you had to visit Mardi Gras. He had that you... And anybody know about Mardi Gras? Yes. Mercy, come on now. I've seen some of the beads in your car now. You know, that's just the way you get those beads at. Well, Christian ain't got no business being at Mardi Gras. He had Carnival in Brazil. These are no place for a Christian. But you know, church, there's one thing. The Bible says that there is an appointment that all of us must make. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, what? The judgment will come. So, friends, if you have not met Christ today, don't delay any further. Amen. When the invitation is extended, we're going to ask you to come forward, because Jesus says, he says, you must come by me. That's one thing all of us must do if we're going to make heaven our home. That's, we must obey Jesus. Amen. I just thought I had to say that before I started. Are you at the Bible yet? Are you at the text? Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit, or we want you to know, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5. Paul is writing this letter as an appeal to the Corinthian church. He's using church, the Macedonia believers here, and today we're going to talk about giving by the grace of God. giving by the grace of God. And I may not get a lot of amens during the sermon. It's okay. You know, Brother Thomas flew over the territory last week, but I need to go back and reverse through here with a station wagon. I remember Paul telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, to preach the word. He told him to preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season. He told him to preach whether they like it, whether they don't like it. You know why? Because the object of our affection ought to be God. So what we preach is got to be commanded by God. Amen?
Amen.
So Paul is urging the church. He's writing the letter to the Christians at Corinth. And he wants them to know about giving. And he talks about this example of the church at Macedonia. And he says that even when they were in a great trial of affliction. You know, church, some of the reasons why we claim that we cannot give, because I'm going through something, Brother Bowie. Brother Bowie, if I give to the Lord, you know what? My bills are so high, Brother Bowie, that I don't know if I'll be able to make it. Brother Bowie, if I give to the Lord, you know what? I don't know if there's going to be enough for me. Look what it says. It says in verse number 2, how that in a great, not just any problem, not just any trial. It says that they were in a great trial of affliction. The abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of liberality. Paul says, church, we want you to know this thing. Church, we ought to give even in the midst of trials and tribulations. Let me tell you something. It's no secret that summertime is the worst season for giving in churches.
Amen.
Why? Why? Is God still not blessing us? What is the commandment in 1 Corinthians chapter 16? He says, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. According as God has what? Has prospered him. Are you not prospering?
Come on, brother.
Are you not prospering? Now, listen. He's not talking about your income necessarily. Well, brother, I didn't get a raise this year. Is God still not blessing you? Listen, the great scholar William Barclay, he says back in Jewish time there was a feast called the Feast of Purim. And at this feast there was a requirement that no matter how poor you were, you had to find someone that had less than you, and you had to give them a gift. What's the point in that? All of us have been blessed. Y'all act like y'all don't believe me. Have you not been blessed? You know what? Paul points out this in the church of Macedonia. He says how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their, look at the text. They're what? They weren't just poor. They were poor. They're deep poverty. You know, Paul said that they didn't have four bedroom Mediterranean houses that would appear on Cribs or 90210. They didn't have six-figure incomes. They didn't have BMWs or Lexus or even Hondas. Or in this case, they didn't have even the finest camels, maybe. You know what? They didn't walk around going to Starbucks drinking caramel macchiato. They didn't go around, Brother Thomas, drinking Deer Park water, which is, that's a necessity today, isn't that?
Yes.
Come on. You know, they weren't able to order shrimps. They didn't order the Admiral's Feast at Red Lobster, somebody. Come on. Come on. You know, they didn't have 154 channels on their TV. Listen, listen, church, it's amazing. It's amazing how many luxuries that we have. And we claim we're poor. Listen to me. What's the definition of a luxury? Something that is an indulgence rather than a necessity. You know, church, I remember a time where, you know, we didn't have Deer Park water, Brother Matthews. You know, there was a time where you were out playing around and you run around with the fellas and you came in and you didn't go to the fridge, Brother Bowie. You know where you headed? You headed to the faucet and you drank tap water. And if nobody was looking, you put your mouth to the faucet. Come on now. Amen. Some of your brothers don't say amen. Some of your brothers still drink out the milk carton when the wife ain't looking. Come on. But you can forget about Sunny D. We didn't have that, Brother Matthews. I mean, we might have had Kool-Aid. We ain't had no sugar, though. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Now, you know what? I'm not picking on anybody here because, you know, even myself, when you get so used to luxuries, and I found myself, you know, the internet went down one time, Brother Smith, and man, I almost lost my mind because, man, I love to send some emails out. I love to send some, check the email, and can I tell you a secret? You know, I'm not going to tell nobody, right? All right. Listen, at night, oh, some of y'all got like, oh man, this is gonna be good. You know, I sleep with my cell phone, right? I send emails out even in my sleep, Brother Smith. Y'all thought I was gonna tell something juicy. Yeah, Brother Lister, we won't tell nobody. You'll be calling Brother Gibbon in Rochester. Good brother. But you know what? When we get so used to luxuries and when we go so used to following in the cares and the riches of this world, you know, we need to look and see what's priority here. And, you know, this is a good lesson that, you know, you need to teach your children as well, because if you don't be careful, when they turn 16, they're going to talk about, Brother Bowie, we want a sweet 16, you know, like we see on MTV and, you know, and thousands of dollars and have this guest list and invite P. Diddy. Now, I had a sweet 16, but I was allowed to invite 10 people. You know, we had 5 boys and 5 girls. And that's because I had a twin sister. Amen? And the sweet 16 was you get 16 candles and a chocolate cake. That's it. That's it. But see, church, if we say that we are not prospering, do you know what we're telling God? We are slapping God in the face and saying that he's not providing for us. Because the Bible says in Matthew 6:31, it says, take no thought for tomorrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, what you shall wear. You know, God is such a good God. You know, he provides for you. I mean, church, oh, now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't have financial difficulties. We're in a tough time. Amen. We're in a tough time. It's hard to live. Amen. I know that. You know, there was a time where, you know, and we know how to survive, though. Because, Brother Bowie, when nothing else works, I mean, you go to the bologna sandwiches. But, you know, you got to have money to even eat bologna sandwiches these days, though. Everything has gone up. But God still provides for us, even when we're going through financial difficulties, even when things get high and heavy upon us. God still looks out for us, church. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. In other words, be anxious or don't worry about anything. In Philippians 4:19, the Bible says, but my God shall do what? He shall supply all of your needs according to the riches of his glory. Church, in our text, the church in Macedonia existed in deep poverty. They were poor. But listen, this is what I'm going to contend to you. Even though they were poor in the way others may have looked at them, They were not poor in spirit. And they were not poor in faith. How do we know? How do we know? How do we know? Look at verse number 2. Even in a great trial of affliction, even when they were going through something, the Bible says the abundance of their joy did what? It abounded. What does abounded mean? It overflowed. What's the hallmark of Christianity? When you are going through a trial, you still have joy. Brother Thomas, I still have joy after all the things that I've been through. I still have joy. It says that their joy overflowed, was running over. Man. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And you know, sometimes we see these verses, but we don't believe them. How am I going to be happy going through a trial? How am I going to be happy having problems in my life? Listen, none of us want problems. But what we want is the Lord to be with us when we are going through problems. Amen. The Lord to use us in the midst of problems. That's where the joy comes from. Man, the best thing to do is when you're going through something, do something for somebody else.
Amen.
Church, the next thing that we need to note in the verse is one of the main conditions is that when you do anything for God, when you do anything for God, guess what? It's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your heart. In verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. What does the word liberality mean? The word comes from the Greek word haplotes, which means singleness of mind. Singleness of purpose, sincerely, with an open heart and free. It is the same word used in James 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's got to come from your heart. You know, the opposite of that word is duplicity. Duplicitous. Double-minded. Sometimes we call the person two-faced. James says that a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in all his ways. You can't trust him. You can't trust him. A person that sings, I surrender all, but when the offering comes, Brother Bowie, I'm not giving. That's a person that is double-minded and unstable and cannot be trusted. You know, Jesus had always required the whole heart of a person. You know, God doesn't need anything from us. He does not need anything from us. But see, God wants to see if that we're going to give from our heart. If we're going to show how much that we appreciate him sending his son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary for us. If we're going to give back to him. Are we going to be covetous of what God has given to us? Doesn't God own everything? Doesn't he bless us with incomes, with jobs, with nice homes? Why don't we give back? I knew I could get a whole lot of amens on this. But I got to do it anyway. The point is that we need to be clear on the fact that single-minded, we need to be single-purpose, is the fact that we love the Lord. Circumstances should not hinder us from giving to the Lord. And listen, it's when we talk about giving, remember, God wants our whole heart. So it's not just financial. It's not just financial. It's not just giving your money. God wants you. It's giving your time. It's giving your talent. It's being devoted to the work of God.
Amen.
Because you can give your money and still not give yourself to God.
Amen.
Listen, you remember there was a young man in Matthew chapter 19. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, obey the commandments. Hey, I've done all that, Jesus. But you know what? There's one thing you lack. Your things have hold of you. Take off those Gucci slippers. Because you can't follow me with those. Because you're going to start thinking you're better than other people. Take off those. Go sell that BMW. Hope nobody. I'm not messing with nobody. And give to the poor. Now listen. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. That's not what I'm saying. Because I think if you serve the Lord, God will bless you with some nice things. You know. So if you serve the Lord, He'll give you that BMW. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when these things distract you from giving your heart to God, then see that's what He wants. That's when we talk about giving of yourself. That's what He wants. But see, the Macedonian church, they did not let the trials stop them from giving to God. Amen? Next point. Verse number three. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. The question we ask is, What are the signs of spiritual prosperity? One, you're able to give in the midst of trials, the midst of tribulation. You're able to still have joy. Number two, you are able to go beyond your own power. They went beyond their power. Church, I contend with you today that you cannot go beyond your own power without faith. As a matter of fact, there's not much you can do without faith. You cannot even come to God without faith. And you know, church, the reason why people don't come to Christ is it's not because they don't understand. They understand completely. The reason is because they don't believe. They don't have the faith enough to believe. But Jesus says, except you believe that I'm He, you're going to die. You're going to die in your sin, and furthermore, where I am, you cannot come. You're not going to be where I'm at. Heaven will never be your home if you don't believe and obey the gospel. Does that mean you know everything? No. That means you are willing to step out on faith. You can bet your precious bottom dollar. If you don't have faith, you don't believe, you won't make it to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
You will never hear the words, well done, thy good and thy faithful servant.
That's right.
Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that what?
Diligently
seek Him. You know, church, I'm reminded of some saints that went beyond their own power. Anybody remember Abraham?
Yeah.
The Bible said, who against hope believed in hope. He considered not his own body now being dead. You know, Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was close to that age. What was she, about 90? And they said, you know what? You're going to bear a child. But he said that he didn't count on his own ability, but he trusted God. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was what? He was strong in faith.
Yes, sir.
I couldn't help but also think of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 17. You remember that, Brother Bowie? Where he had a young servant with him, and the young servant looked out and said, he was worried, Elijah, we surrounded. What are we going to do? Elisha said, fear not, for, they that be with us are more that be with them. But he prayed. He said, I pray that this young man's eyes would be opened.
Yes, sir.
See, Elisha wasn't trusting in himself, but he was trusting in the power of God. He said, relax. God is going to provide. What about Peter? Didn't Peter go beyond his own power? Peter experienced the joy of walking on water, even for a short time, church.
Uh-huh.
Even for a short time. And he began to sink when he took his eyes off of Christ. Paul went beyond his own power. Where Paul said, after he read his old credentials, he said, if anybody, Brother Willie, has the right to have confidence in the flesh, it's me. Circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Israel. He went through all those credentials. But he said, I have no more confidence in the flesh. I count all the things that I do now but dung as worthless that I may win Christ. And then we remember Jesus. Jesus went beyond his own power, church. You remember Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying in the shadow of the cross. The Bible said that there were tears as blood coming down. And he prayed. And the Bible says that an angel strengthened him. Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy be done.
Yes, sir.
Church, Jesus also went beyond. And this is why we ought to give. Jesus made himself poor that we might become rich.
That's right.
That's in the same text. Look at it. Verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, yet though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross, as in Philippians chapter 2. Thought it not robbery equal to God, but took on the form of a servant and humbled himself. He humbled himself. And the word is in that humiliated. Here is God.
Preacher.
He was God.
That's right.
You remember that?
That's right.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in the midst of darkness. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among the people.
Amen.
Jesus humiliated himself. The beloved became the rejected. Church, they were willing. They were willing. They went beyond. And finally, my last point. Who is our object here, church? If you look at verse number 4, praying us with much entreaty that we should, they begged them. Much entreaty, because they said, we want to be a part of this fellowship in giving. Praying us with much entreaty that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. They gave, not as we hoped. The Macedonian church was not trying to please Paul. They were trying to please God. And Paul was saying, wait a second. We know you guys are poor. I don't know if you can give this much. Uh-uh. They went beyond, Brother Bowie, because they knew God has been so good to us. They gave of themselves. That's what it's about, church. They gave of themselves. It's not about money. It's about giving yourself. Jesus has never accepted anything less. Anything less would be uncivilized, as Charles Barkley would say. But see, he says, they didn't give as Paul had hoped. They gave more because they knew the object of their giving was God. They wanted to please the God of heaven who had been so good to them. Church, man has never truly prospered except that he has walked with God. God is alone able to give us the things that money cannot buy. Reason cannot discern. Independence cannot achieve. In Psalm 90, verse number 1, the Bible says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Church, we are mere stewards of what God has given to us. What is a steward, church? A steward is a manager. But church, the problem is that men have misconceptions about what belongs to who. You know, they want to follow the Isley brothers, and it's your thing, or Bobby Brown, it's my prerogative, or Heavy D say, we got our own thing. You don't remember that, do y'all? But the fact of the matter is that everything belongs to God. I'm going to close on this. Turn your Bible to Psalm 50. Verse number 10. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. Everything that you have, God has blessed you with. Amen. Now, I know this church was a lesson for the church. Because the bottom line, Brother Reed, is we can do better. You know, Brother Reed made a statement last week that, you know, if members would just give 10%, we wouldn't have any problems. You know, you can look at your bulletin and know that the giving has been lacking. It's been lacking. It's been down. You know, but the interesting thing is, church, where when we go through financial difficulties, you know, the first person we cut is God. We don't cut the 156-channel cable. We cut God. You know why? Because God understands. That's what we say. God understands. Don't we say that? God knows that I'm going through difficulties. God blesses us day after day after day after day. You ever been to a birthday party with children and, you know, one of the children start getting their gifts and they start opening and, you know, the other children are gathered around and, you know, and they ask to play with them and they shout, no! No, these are mine. No, no. And the children, you know, who gave you those gifts?
That's right.
You know, and when God gives us all these things and all he wants to do with us to give back and we're covetous, no, mine. I gave you these gifts. I gave you this money. I only want a portion back. I only want a portion back. Church, if you have been falling short in your obligation, all of us can do better because of, now, if you've been a part of there's a small percentage that have been giving where they need to be, but not all of us. Brother Reed, a majority of us not. Amen?
Amen.
Safe to say?
Amen.
Yeah. The church at Macedonia, the Bible says that they existed in deep poverty. But they gave, they went beyond, they gave of themselves. They were willing, they entreated, they begged to be a part of the fellowship. Now, I didn't just preach this because, you know, I want a whole lot of amens. I know this is a tough lesson for some. Amen. This is a tough lesson. But it's there you go. You got to preach anyhow.
Amen.
Abraham Lincoln once said, and contrary to popular belief, the old statesmen, they were religious men. And he would visit a religious service on Sunday night, and he had a custom of sitting back near the preacher's office with his, you know, out of view from everyone else, with his stovepipe hat on his lap. And one night he sat at service, and at the conclusion of the service, one of his aides asked him, Mr. President, how do you think the preacher did? He said, you know, the preacher was, he was well-organized. The preacher was articulate. The preacher was relevant and timely. But I believe the preacher failed. So what do you mean? He said, the preacher failed because he did not ask of us something great. Church, I'm not going to fail today in that. I'm going to ask you something great.
Amen.
I'm going to ask of you to give liberally today. I'm going to ask you to give from the abundance of your heart today. I've done my job. I've done my job. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, you're not a Christian. Listen, God wants something from you as well. God wants you to give as well. And God wants you to give your heart. God wants you to give your heart to him. And you know, it's funny how we think that we are smarter than God. The Bible says, who has known the mind of God or who has been his counselor? You know, God is the one that framed the entire world. God is the one that set the sun here and the moon here and then rested on the seventh day. Yet it takes us 6 months. We still ain't figured how to put the patio together. And yet we claim that we are smarter than God. God did it all without an instruction manual. But we struggle to put together a set of Legos with instructions. Yet we claim we are smarter than God. If you're not right with the Lord today, we're going to ask when the invitation is extended. And we know how Satan works. He'll say, no, you are right. Listen, my friend, if you don't confess Christ today, you will confess him in the judgment.
Right.
The Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. There's not one moment that's promised to us, not one moment. While the blood is running warm in your veins, why don't you obey the gospel? How can you do it? You can do it today. It starts by hearing his word. It starts by believing the same. You got to repent of your sins, confess Christ, and be baptized. On the head this morning, Ethiopian eunuch. But he was willing, Brother Reed.
Amen.
He was willing. He had an open heart to the gospel. His heart was not closed, it was open.
Amen.
It was open. We got to be open, church. If you're subject to saving the invitation, we're going to ask you to come. Please together stand and sing.